So the theme this year for Lent is listening, and tonight, as Deacon Emily mentioned, we're going to think about listening to our bodies. Many of the Lenten things we can do, as it turns out, relate to our bodies. Fasting definitely relates to the body. And if you want to go old school for Lent and you want to give up like chocolate or hard candy, again, that involves listening to your body, and in this case, saying, no, body, you're wrong, right? So, but again, it's about listening to your body. Or even if you want to sort of do a contemporary fast that's really environmentally friendly and green, like you want to give up plastics or you want to give up driving to work and walk instead, again, it uses the body. So whether you want to go old school or green school, again, so much of the Lenten fast and giving up have to do with the body. Another thing that people will often do during Lent is commit themselves to prayer or maybe a different prayer practice. And so often we think about prayer just in terms of our thoughts, but prayer, again, involves the whole body. And in fact, when we talk about listening prayers, the first step is to prepare your body, to take some breaths, maybe mark yourself with the sign of a cross, but again, to get your body ready for prayer. So wherever we would go in terms of our Lenten disciplines, I think we'd find that so many of them have to do with the body. And really, I would invite us this Lent to listen to our bodies. And our bodies definitely speak to us, and I'll give a real easy example of that. This last weekend, I was playing basketball against some, and really with some people in the church. And at one point, I decided that I would set a pick. And the way you set a pick is you stand in the way of a defender, so the person they're covering then can go score, right? And it just so happened that the person that I chose to set a pick on is a 26-year-old who is my height, but has 100 more pounds of muscle than I do. And so Cody Kimmel ran into me. And at that point, every inch in my body said, you're not going to do that again, okay? Like, now, fortunately, my teammate scored, so I felt like it had maybe been a worthy sacrifice. But again, my body was speaking to me very clearly in that moment. And again, our bodies will speak to us. And what do our bodies say if we really listen to them? Well, although our bodies are physical, again, because the body and the spirit are so related, I think they can point us towards, if not proclaim to us, two sort of deeper, more spiritual truths. And the first is to use the words of Psalm 139, that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. Again, Psalm 39 tells us that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. And especially as I get older, I'm having to pay more attention to my body, and I'm realizing how complex the chemistry in my body is. So, for instance, certain foods that I used to be able to eat a lot of, my body tells me now you can't do that. Anybody else know that experience, right? Right? 20, they were great. Not so great now, okay? Or this morning, well, at the early service, somebody had given me some oil from the Middle East, so I put it in the ashes. Well, turned out it had some cinnamon in it. So when I put the crosses on our foreheads, there was a burning sensation, which maybe added a little bit to sort of the suffering of Jesus as I'm bearing this sort of burning cross. But it was a reminder, just a very, very little bit of that essential oil very much irritated my skin. And it was just a reminder of how gentle and really how delicate our body chemistry is, that just a little bit of salt, a little bit of grease, a little bit of cinnamon can throw the whole system out of whack. In the last 5 or 6 years, I've heard all sorts of information about the kind of yogurt we're supposed to eat because our body houses billions of bacteria that need to be well-fed, right? So we have this really complicated thing called the human body. And if we listen to it, it proclaims to us over and over that we're fearfully and wonderfully made, and that the human body itself and its complexity points towards an intelligent maker, if not a loving maker. So again, if we listen to our body, we should be in awe of just how complex and how delicate this body
of ours is.
But our bodies tell us something else as well. And our bodies also tell us that we're mortal and that our bodies aren't going to last forever. This is why we're here on Ash Wednesday, after all. Last year, I was ice skating, and somebody chose to use me as their brakes, which worked for them, but it really didn't work for me very well. And I was standing there one moment, and then I went up, and I landed, and my back landed right on their shoe, right below the ribs. And it really, really didn't feel very good. And I was too out of breath to say anything I regret. But I was really in pain. But what struck me was 6 weeks later, I was still walking, and it kind of hurt. And this was the first time in my life that it took me a while to heal from an injury. And my body was reminding me that I don't heal so fast anymore, that I'm not like the comic character Wolverine who wakes up the next day after battle fine. But yeah, as I hit 40, my body started saying healing takes longer. And I think all of us know that as we age, our body speaks to us more clearly that it is not going to last forever. Again, this is why we're here on Ash Wednesday, to hear that word from Genesis that from dust we were made, and to dust we shall return. And much of what we're doing in Lent, I think, is about listening to the body and wrestling with these two truths that it proclaims to us. On the one hand, that we're loved, that we're endowed with gifts and great potential by our Creator. Yet on the other hand, we're mortal, and we will die. It's fascinating that right after Jesus talks about how to pray, which again, is he talks a lot about the body, closing the door, going down, and even the word for pray there means to kneel or to be prostrate. And then he talks about fasting, which again involves the body. The very next thing he says is, be wary of where you store up your treasures. For your treasure is, your heart will be also. And do not put your treasure in things where moth can steal, where it can go away. Be worried, be cautious about earthly treasures. I think part of Lent is reflecting. Reflecting on the one hand on the great love that God has for us, on the way in which we're endowed with such potential and so many gifts. Yet on the other hand, our days are finite. And what are we going to do? And again, I think wrestling with this and asking ourselves, am I putting my energies in my life where I should? God, you've given me so much life, and am I doing the right thing with it? Am I really building up treasures that matter? For me this year, I'm taking on two Lenten disciplines. One thing I'm taking away and one thing I'm adding. And both of them are things I've chosen because I believe they will force me to and help me live into better priorities for how God would seek to have me live as a disciple. Again, I think part of Lent is this wrestling both with our mortality, yet our beloved status with God. And in that sort of holy cataclysm, then repenting as we consider day in and day out our priorities, our treasures, where our energy is going. Now, as Christians, we know how this all ends. We know how the story will ultimately advance. But I caution against moving too quickly to Easter. No, I think this night especially and throughout Lent, we're called to tarry a bit, to linger a bit in a mode of repentance, contemplation of our own mortality. And I think we ought to do so until we are hungry, but not simply hungry to break our fast, but that we are hungry for a word. Hungry for the word of the Lord about the one who came and took on human flesh and lived among us and went into the wilderness and was there famished for 40 days and 40 nights and fought against temptation and the devil. Hungry for a word about one who emptied himself on a cross, as Paul says, he who knew no sin became sin, bearing our sins in his body, crying out in physical pain, I thirst. Yes, hungry for a word finally of resurrection when he comes to us again in the flesh, in the body, and says, touch and see, peace be with you. So this Lent, again, we're called to wrestle with these truths that on the one hand we're loved, created, beautifully and wonderfully made, with such capacity and potential before God, yet we're mortal. And to wrestle with those until we're hungry. Hungry not just for food, and hungry not just for whatever we're fasting from, but hungry for prayer and hungry for the word.